all of these things combine to make, to underscore the kind of person he is and what his value system is.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping that you would say that he had talked to you about it, and so it's just, it was a kind of a mute subject.
He has never, in all the years of our close relationship, he has never brought up the subject, and I haven't, and I never would. If I always felt if he wanted to talk about it, he would, mm-hmm. but that I wouldn't ever bring it up to bring further trauma and unhappiness to what must have been a very difficult period in his life. Mm-hmm. I don't know of anyone who he has ever talked to about it. No one has ever said this to me, that they have talked to him about it. The only person who I would imagine he talked to about it was Travis Cross. Travis was very close to him in his early political days, was a political associate and counselor with him, was very instrumental in being the nuts and bolts person behind Mark Hatfield in his early days. Travis is a wonderful organizer, has a keen political instinct. He was the pusher and mover in getting Mark Hatfield up front. Mark Hatfield is not a self-starter. He needs somebody around him. He's great when he gets going, but he needs people around him who will get him going, and Travis Cross served that purpose in Mark Hatfield's early days when he was running for the legislature and Secretary of State and for governor. And of course, Travis served as a press secretary to Mark when he was governor, did an excellent job. And then maybe after the governor days, and maybe I sort of stepped in to be that stimulator and that person who gave that push to him. But my relationship with Travis has always been a good one. I've understood him, and we've counseled back and forth, and I've always respected what he brought to Mark Hatfield's life. Now, as I remember the incident when the Wayne Morse charge became public, and having not known anything about this, I remember Travis talking a bit about it at that time and having an answer ready for the press immediately. So it was obvious that he was well aware of it, and I can't help but think that he and Mark talked about it, but I don't know that to be a fact.
Well, perhaps Doug Coe might be a person to also have been privy to that story.
That could well have been, could well be so. Mm-hmm. Doug has never mentioned that to me, and I don't know whether Mark talked to him about it. But if there were any two people who were, in a different way, Doug would have counseled with him, I think, more on the interpersonal side of it and to what it did to him as a person. Travis would perhaps have talked to him more on the public side mm-hmm. of it with the obvious result that someday it would become more of a public bit of information.
I wonder if you could give us a closer appreciation of this Mark Hatfield's religious experience in connection with the ministry, or whatever you would call it, of Douglas Coe, being there around the time. What sort of an influence is Douglas Coe? What sort of a person is he, and how does he work?
Well, Doug Coe is very low key and works in a very as I said earlier, unstructured manner. And Doug comes from a religious family. His sister is a keen student of the Bible. And Doug had this vision of spreading the word and working particularly with young people and in communities and in getting a fellowship, an unstructured fellowship. Doug is not one for organized religion. To the contrary, he believes very much in this loosely formed body called the fellowship, which is, as he visualizes it, people from every walk of life with every kind of religious orientation who whether it be Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, who tries to bring their feelings together with a common goal of furthering the good word in the areas and doing something for their fellow man. It's not that it's a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or whatever it is group. Bringing support to people in every walk of life, and particularly to those in positions of responsibility. I think you have to realize that people at the top, be it in business life or in political life, people in positions of leadership and responsibility are lonely, and they can't talk to very many people, and they need a support group around them just as all the rest of us do. And Doug realized this, and the fellowship started as a support group for each other who were in that group, but later developed into a support group, particularly for those in top positions of political life, governors and presidents and kings and emperors and all the rest. And it's quite astounding what this has done. And I think that underlying all of this is, and certainly as far as Mark Hatfield is concerned, is the peace issue, that tying this together with what we talked about earlier about his strong belief in the sanctity of human life and the experiences that he had as a naval officer and what he saw in Hiroshima. Mark Hatfield is not a peacenik, but he certainly believes strongly that there are other ways of getting things done by in human relationships rather than using guns and bullets. And what Doug Cole brought into this whole picture and into Mark Hatfield's life was a informal group to provide that strength and that interest and that love and concern that Mark Hatfield, being the reserved, really shy person that he is, would not go out and grasp. But Mark Hatfield is not a hail fellow well met. He's not the kind of person that goes to a neighborhood bar. He doesn't drink now. Perhaps he had a beer or two when he was younger, but He is not a gregarious person. He is reserved, and he has a tough time in reaching out to other people. Doesn't come easily to him. When he does, it's so sincere that people feel it, but it's not his nature. So he does not have a lot of close friends and was not a party goer and was not a joiner of except where it was helpful in political context. So this fellowship and what Doug Cole brought into Mark's life was an important ingredient in the whole scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that that Hatfield has been as instrumental in Doug Coe's mission, the furthering of his mission, as perhaps he's been instrumental in Hatfield's life?
Oh, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. How did that work, actually? That
Doug Coe needed the help in the support and the credibility when he went to Washington initially to work on the presidential prayer breakfast with Senator Carlson, Frank Carlson from Kansas, I imagine, was the person who really was very instrumental in this, and Abraham Verrady, and they were very close to Doug Coe, and they were responsible for his initial activity in the presidential prayer breakfast in Washington and the fellowship group, and they saw in Doug this unusual personality, but naturally Doug needed credibility, and doors opened, and Mark Hatfield provided that, as governor, and more so as senator when he came back, so that Mark became an instrumental part of the whole fellowship organization and served as chairman of the presidential prayer breakfast, and was very supportive of Doug and the work that he was doing, both in this country and overseas.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to, I was thinking earlier about the Hatfield wedding at that time, and that was an eventful event. And I wonder if you could tell me some of the circumstances of the wedding. It was a kind of a celebrated wedding, and can you tell me how the wedding went, the arrangements of the wedding?
Oh yes, it was very much of a major social and perhaps I wouldn't call it a political event, but it certainly had deep political overtones to it. It was a large event made that way naturally because of Mark Hatfield's position and his political status, that it was it was necessary, of course, to ensure that people who had helped him in his political life would be included in something like this. And it also, there were some complications ahead of time because Antoinette Hatfield came from a very strong Catholic family and was brought up in the Catholic faith, and Mark Hatfield was a Baptist, and Antoinette gave up her Catholicism to marry Mark, and this did not sit well with the Catholic Church, and there were some very strong feelings in the Catholic community, and indeed with some members of Antoinette's own family on this, and it was not an easy part of that period, and it certainly troubled the two of them because of this feeling. It had no effect in their own relationship. It was at that time and continued to be and is today a very close, loving marriage. But certainly having that uneasiness expressed by a number of members of the Catholic church was not easy for Mark to take, and it did have some overtones in the wedding. But it was a big wedding. He had a number of his friends serve as groomsmen and ushers for him, and Antoinette did likewise with her friends. G. Herbert Smith, who was the president of Willamette University and a longtime friend and counselor and great supporter of Mark's, was his best man. And I was in the wedding party and intimately involved in the details of the wedding. I had a large party at my home for, I guess it was at really more of an engagement than a wedding party for Mark, and we had hundreds of folks at my home to wish them well, and it was very much of a social occurrence in Oregon, and people were angling in all ways to get an invitation, and indeed when they got there to have the most prominent seats, because this was the place to go and be seen, and it certainly, as Mark has said, he got married in public and raised his children in public, and that's a part of the game when you're in the political life. Mm-hmm. But it was a spectacular event, and the reception afterwards was a fun one too, and then they went down to California on their honeymoon, and then I can remember meeting them afterwards as they came back. I think we met in Southern Oregon at the Shakespeare Festival when they returned from their honeymoon, and I have certainly been a close member of their family ever since. Mm-hmm. With the same kind of relationship with Antoinette and with Mark and with their kids. Mm-hmm. Having been around at the time the kids were born and sort of serving as a surrogate uncle for them, I've watched their problems and troubles and their successes, and like any uncle, uncle in quotes, mm-hmm. Very proud of their accomplishments. So, and I think they have always had, and due to this day, have a relationship with me where, again, where kids can't talk to their parents about a lot of things. They come to somebody outside, mm-hmm. The family, and I think I serve that purpose for them and have over the years.
Mm-hmm. So often, when a fellow gets married, his best friend, difficulties develop between his best friend and his new wife. And but that sort of thing didn't happen in this case, is that right?
Never happened in this case. That I've always had a very good relationship with Antoinette, and there has never been that problem, that she has always accepted me as Mark's friend and a friend of the family and a supporter of the family, and I have accepted her certainly as a person closest to him, and I understand the relationships, and there has never been any problem, mm-hmm. that I'm aware of from my side, mm-hmm. Between us, and I think, you know, looking at that, it could have developed into a stressful situation, because in the political business, there is always, for the people who are involved on the political side, there is always the desire and the attempt to put everything in the best political context and to ensure that the political person is out in the public a lot and going to meetings and giving speeches and doing all those things. This brings strain on the family relationship, because the wife is always, rightfully so, most interested in the family situation, that she wants, and rightfully so, wants her husband home as much as possible and wants him around the kids. Mm-hmm. And they've always been able, Antoinette and Mark, to have a fair balance on that. As difficult as it has been having all the kids mm-hmm. during the time he was governor, he still found time to balance that family life and being around his kids as much as he could. Not as much as perhaps other parents who weren't governor or didn't have a political job. Well, then when it came time to go to Washington, and then I became a staff person mm-hmm. in the relationship, different than the personal relationship. When he was governor, it was more of a friendship basis mm-hmm. because I was not technically an employee. Mm-hmm. I worked with him very closely as chairman of the economic development, and we were very close personal friends. But that's a little bit different relationship than it is today, mm-hmm. or it has been for the last 15 years, where I have been his chief of staff. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, I have a staff responsibility, and seeing what goes on with my contemporaries and associates in Washington who have a similar sort of job, and their relationship with the senatorial wives and families, it's a pretty rocky relationship in the majority of the cases mm-hmm. because there is this protective feeling as far as the wife is concerned, and there is this ambitious political program on behalf of the staff person. My reason for bringing this up is that in these 15 years, although we've certainly had discussions with Antoinette, and I have, you know, and she's wanting, you know, bringing the personal side in priority, and I'm looking at the political side, it has never colored our relationship mm-hmm. and has never brought any profound problems.
Well, I think that that's a subject to return to. It's a general subject of high importance when you think of, you know, how many people are involved and the experience of political leaders with the, you know, balancing the private lives and the public lives.
That's right.
It's extremely difficult.
So it's a very, and today it's even more important and more relevant than it was 15 mm-hmm. years ago. Yeah. So, but this is a very important side of the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. Good. When we probably need to get back to chronology again, and I'm thinking of how your activities begin to develop as you become an assistant to Mark Hatfield in a growing and increasing way. And when does that begin? Are we close to the election to Secretary of State? Do you begin to participate in his political campaigns?
Well, yes, I participated in a periphery way in his campaign for Secretary of State. I was not a major player in it, but mm-hmm. certainly in the consultant area, and it was a friend. I was very supportive, although I didn't know him all that well. I did play a small part. Mm-hmm. Then the activity became stronger, as we talked in our previous tape of. At the time of the discussion of whether or not he would take on Sig Unander. I was in, as we talked about, on that discussion when it was decided that he would indeed get involved in that primary, that Republican primary. And then when he won the primary and went on to run against Bob Holmes, yes, I was involved in that campaign, but Travis Cross was really the major player, and although I played a supportive role and perhaps served as a bit of a bridge for him to the Portland social and business community, because I had strong ties with that community in Portland, and he didn't. And if anything, perhaps I could did serve as an advocate in those circles, and hopefully was helpful to him, because as we talked in the previous tape, he did not at that time he was not a well-known commodity, and some of the folks there were concerned about a liberal college professor, mm-hmm. particularly being on the Republican ticket. Well, then when that election was first election was over with, then he asked me to become chairman of the Economic Development Commission for the state. I had been appointed to it previously by Bob Holmes, by the governor, Bob Holmes, which I always appreciated. And he knew that I was a friend of Mark Hatfield's, and that Mark Hatfield was going to be in a could well be an opponent of his. And I always respected and admired Bob Holmes for getting me involved in that.
Did
in
Holmes
that job.
Explain how he had come to pick you?
Well, I don't. He never explained to me personally how he came to pick me, but through mutual friends, I had heard that, you know, he had talked with them about who they felt might be effective in this program, and I was complimented that he did choose me. But he never told me why he did. Mm-hmm. But that's how I got started in it. And here it presented a little bit of a problem, because I personally like Bob Holmes. And here I was serving as an appointee of his, and then being involved in the campaign for somebody who was running against him. And Bob Holmes understood that, really. And it never affected our relationship. And I think there was a mutual respect there. Well, after Mark then was elected governor, he asked me to become the chairman of it. And I did serve in that capacity for 8 years. And the economic development was the cornerstone, really, of his interests and his activities as governor. And because of that, naturally, then our associations were very frequent, that there were lots of activities, there were plant openings, individuals coming to Oregon who were interested in locating here. There were promotional programs. I did lots and lots of speaking. Hundreds of speeches all over the state on the economic development subject. Traveled some places with Mark when he was governor to these meetings. Went to the governor's conferences in several instances with him. Visited with him in the office from time to time on these subjects. And this was a time when I was managing Mar and Frank, and you know, that too was perhaps a little bit of a lonely job, because you know, serving in that capacity, some people would feel that they couldn't get too close to me because I was in a position of responsibility. So, you know, I like to have somebody that I could bat ideas around with, and so did Mark. So many was the evening that after work, I'd go by the Hatfields' home, and we'd have dinner, or I'd be late when the store was over and open in the evening. I'd go by and just sit and talk. And this was a very regular occurrence. We'd spend evenings together, Mark and Antoinette and myself, and talk about things, and we did a lot of social things together, travel together, and we had a good relationship at that time, and a very close political relationship because of the economic development job. And that went right on until I resigned that position when he became when he was going to run for the Senate, and when I became involved in that campaign. Now, a basic ingredient, of course, in all of this was my status, because in 1965, when it became apparent that Marin Frank was going to be sold, I left the business to go back, although it is the relevant part of this particular subject, it certainly enters into it, because certain elements of the Marin Frank families wanted to sell the business. Our side of the family did not. I was active in the business. My dad was. My brother had passed away by this time. But we did not want to become a part of a conglomerate and outside ownership. Mm-hmm.